The Shaw Festival in Niagara-on-the-Lake presents The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Filled with breathtaking battles, mythical creatures, and unforgettable characters, this new adaptation of C.S. Lewis's classic will mesmerize the whole family. Don't miss this epic adventure. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. This season at the Shaw Festival. For tickets, go to shawfest.com.
This is a CBC podcast.
It doesn't have to be this way.
We are stronger together.
You take an airplane, it costs you $2, it costs you nothing.
It wasn't hidden. Any good Gen Z sleuth could have uncovered that.
Labels, we got you, but do you got us?
Because news.
With Gavin Crawford.
Hello, everyone. I am Gavin Crawford. Welcome to Because News, Canada's funniest news quiz. In light of Justin Trudeau's departure and tense relations with the U.S., Pierre Poilievre is conducting internal surveys to figure out how to redefine the Conservative Party's message. The first question on the survey, can I put my damn glasses back on now or what? I can't see anything. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll be making games out of the news. Let's welcome this week's panel. She also saw her shadow last Monday, but where's her parade? Get ready for six more weeks of Ashley Botting.
Oh, I was in my pajamas an hour ago.
In the middle chair, we spread him a little thin today because he's also doing our halftime show. You will not believe his diss track, the always entertaining Chris Sandifer.
It's good. It's good. Thank you. Great to be here.
And finally, she boos every national anthem just on technical merit. Except Estonia, that one's a banger. Say hello to Jan Caruana.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
All right, panel, are you sitting semi-comfortably?
Yes.
Then let's begin.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Panel, there's no doubt these are troubled times. And in troubled times, what do? We sing.
Yes, we do.
So why not kick back, have a listen to this soothing altered lyric, and be ready for questions.
Ma chère président, it is with greatest annoyance and deepest humility that we flatter you tonight. And now we invite you to relax, pull up a chair, as your neighbors proudly present a token. It's a czar. It's a czar. It's our best idea so far. Have a listen to our plan and we can end this stupid war. They will coordinate your ideas, which are great. And we hope you will be shushing, cause the term is vaguely Russian. We'll just do what we've done and pretend that you have won. And you'll come out looking like a giant star. Go on and drop those tariffs we made. Made up a sheriff, it's a star. How bizarre, it's a czar.
Wow. Wow.
Gavin Crawford.
Wow. Terrific.
Wow.
There we go, panel.
That was a great melody, too, that I've never heard. That's amazing. It's so fun.
You heard the song, Why, Oh Why, were czars in the news this week.
I don't know, are the Bolsheviks back? Is that a thing? What's a Bolshevik?
You know, we're doing borscht again. We're doing it. And I'll tell you this, in the winter, it's a sight for czar eyes. A big old bowl of borscht in front of you.
Jan?
Boney M. released a Rasputin sequel. Boo, boo, Nicholas II, the last Russian czar we knew.
Someone must know the real reason.
Yes. So why were czars basically, Trudeau gave a fentanyl czar to appease Trump so that we cannot have a trade war for a month.
You're correct for the point. Ashley Botting, the headline reads, Trump halts Canadian tariffs as Trudeau appoints fentanyl czar. Every time I hear it, I hear Beethoven. Fentanyl czar, fentanyl czar, fentanyl czar, fentanyl czar, fentanyl czar. Yes, Canada has managed to push off the threat of American tariffs for at least 1 month by promising to hire a fentanyl czar. What do you think a fentanyl czar does?
I think he jingles his keys in front of Trump's face and goes, "He's a good boy. You like this? Is this what you want?
Is this what you want, good boy? You want this? Peekaboo. Peekaboo.
What do you think a fentanyl czar does?
I think he steals the fentanyl from the people and keeps it for himself.
Greedy, like a greedy little czar.
Yeah.
If you put some fentanyl under your pillow, he sneaks in at night and leaves $100. According to Public Safety Minister David McGuinty, they'll likely be a liaison with police, the justice system, and other countries. Of course, a CBC headline reads, "What is a fentanyl czar? The Canadian government is still figuring that out." We don't know, but we're going to make one.
But we know the word is czar.
Mm-hmm.
So weird. Czar.
We don't know exactly what the fentanyl czar will do. But of course, the biggest question is who should be fentanyl czar? Let's help the government out now and pitch our ideas for the most impressive Canadian fentanyl czar. Who would you go with?
It's got to be someone that Trump already respects. So, like, the late, great Wayne Gretzky.
Famously still alive.
Famously still alive, to be fair.
Yeah. Or some such.
Wayne Gretzky, fentanyl czar. Honestly, not a bad idea.
My answer was going to involve skates, too. I think Kurt Browning, let me tell you why, stay with me. I think he's doing so well selling us those reverse mortgages.
Oh, yeah.
And also, he can do loops around Trump, right? Trump will be like, I didn't know what hit me, but I liked it. So I think he should be my czar, if not the fentanyl czar.
Your czar.
Yes.
All right. Great argument for Kurt Browning, fentanyl czar. Jen?
Two or three of our meanest Canada geese. I say, get those little twerps, cross the border, let them show their nasty little teeth, let them honk.
They don't care about borders.
They don't.
They fly across them being like, F all y'all.
F all y'all. And they're so beautiful.
Also, how funny would it be if we said we're going to appoint a fentanyl czar and then we made it a goose?
Yeah.
Honk, you want to meet my gander? He'll mess you up.
Yeah. You want to know who killed the Aflac duck? I think those are all great answers.
Thank you.
The goose is the winner. Look at my script. All I see is bonhomme, but armed. Say bonjour to my little friend.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. He's made of snow.
A fentanyl czar was not the only thing Canada has promised the Donald. What else did we promise in order to avoid tariffs for a month, Jen?
Did we add an OxyContin marchioness and a Viscount of Vicodin?
Yes. Also, the Minister of Meth. No. Ashley?
Didn't we get a couple helicopters or something?
We said that we would add Mexican cartels operating in Canada to the list of terrorist organizations.
What a concession. Wow.
Yeah. So whenever they get here, they'll be called terrorists. By the time Trump delayed the tariffs, it was already a shaky week on the global stock market, with stocks falling and then rebounding. But that wasn't the only consequence of Trump's tariff threats. What was the other unforeseen consequence?
Panic attacks on the hour for every Canadian.
Good guess. No. Jen?
We were all desperately Googling, what pasta is from Canada? What about my yogurt? Can I still shop at Costco? Like, they're good. They do DEI hires, right?
That happened, but not what I'm looking for. Chris.
Everybody, you know what? Nobody knew this would happen. We can all spell tariff. It's one R, two Fs.
That's right.
Some people, before this, we thought it was double the Rs, and it's not.
What actually happened was a sudden surge in Canadian patriotism.
Oh,
that's
yes.
right. We all came together as a nation. The Newsweek headline reads, "Patriotism surges in Canada as citizens band together to fight Trump." After decades of a mostly monogamous trade relationship with the U.S., Canada has been forced to consider polyamory, apparently. So let's play a little game of trade Tinder. Now that Canada is back on the market, what do you think our Tinder bio should say?
A lot of people have commented on my natural beauty, eh? But don't let my good looks fool you. I have resources like you wouldn't believe. Polite in the streets, and also polite in the sheets. Let's get together. You won't be sorry. I love you, Canada.
I'm ready to trade already. Chris?
It's a picture of the mountains. And then it says, True North trumps fake news. Looking for no strings trading partners, parentheses. Free Palestine, no cops, they, them, 40 million people.
Fair. Ashley Botting.
I'm bilingual. I got nice peaks. I go all the way north, and I go all the way down south.
Well, like a newly divorced mom full of white wine, Canada is moving pretty fast. We've already soft-launched a new trade partner. This country will be sending us bananas, cocoa beans, and seafood. Who are we hooking up with?
My grandfather when he went on vacation.
Yeah, we got a new trade deal with your grandpa.
One guy.
The correct answer is not Ashley's grandfather. Jen?
I'm hoping it's some hot and spicy country that can shake things up a little bit. But instead, it might be like Britain, which is kind of weird because it's like when two people start dating and they look a lot alike. And you're like, are they siblings or are they together?
It is Ecuador.
Oh, good.
The headline from Reuters reads, Ecuador president says, it's pronounced Ecuador, actually.
We're trading with the equator?
We're trading with Ecuador.
We go all around the world.
It's actually two different things. One has
it's the longest, thinnest country.
The headline from Reuters reads, Ecuador president says new trade deal with Canada finalized. So we have a deal with Ecuador. In return for what they're sending us, we're sending them wheat, cereal, and lentils.
Boring.
No, it's Catan. It sounds like Catan.
Finally, a guy you can bring home to mom.
It's filled with protein.
However, in a video released just this week, Pierre Poilievre, leader of the opposition, suggested we trade with someone we're more familiar with. Who does Pierre say we should start cozying up to?
If I know Pierre Poilievre, it was probably said in some dumb rhyme. So, I don't know. Did he say, let's fleece Greece, barter with Qatar, and trade with Grenada?
Here is what Pierre actually said.
So which country is it that we should be pursuing as our new top trading partner? Switzerland? France? No. Our new top trading partner will be Canada.
Poilievre wants Canada to trade with Canada. What does he mean when he says Canada should trade with Canada?
Well, there's like all these annoying provincial barriers that make it really hard for us to trade across provinces. So he's like, let's not do that.
That is correct for the point. The headline from the National Post reads, Poilievre says he'll tear down provincial trade barriers. International Trade Minister Anita Anand says there's been a real push to knock those barriers down. How long did Anita Anand say it could take to resolve this decades-old issue?
I think I saw this interview. She said, like, under 30 days. She said a month. She said a month.
Chris Sandiford, you're correct for the point. She said it could be done in a month.
Then let's do it.
I believe her.
I know. I mean, that's impressive. Interprovincial trade, bananas from Ecuador, and a newfound patriotism. Maybe Trump is a genius.
They don't love you like I love you. Slow down. They don't love you like I love you. Back up. They don't love you like I love you. Step down. They don't love you like I love you.
Because news.
I'm Gavin Crawford. This is Because News with Ashley Botting, Chris Sandiford, and Jan Caruana. Don't forget to follow, rate, and review Because News on Spotify. Think of how smart and informed you'll look on your Spotify Wrapped. Panel, it's February, which means Valentine's Day is lurking in a nearby alley. And while we're all for rom-coms, the state of modern romance certainly has some horrors. So prepare yourselves for a fake movie trailer and be ready to experience the terror of romance.
Psst. Hey, gorgeous. Down here. You come here often.
What, like to the sewer grate?
Yeah. You want to come in for a float? It's all floats down here.
I don't know.
From the mind of Stephen King and the producer of Bridget Jones' Diary. Come on. I'm not gonna yuck your yum.
Oh, so many red flags.
These aren't flags. They're balloons.
Ew. Ew, no. Okay, sorry. There is just something about a man blowing up a balloon. No, nope, sorry. I can't. I cannot.
Hey, where are you going? This Valentine's, get uncomfortable with Stephen King's Ick. Rated R for romance.
All right, panel, you just heard the heart-stopping trailer for a reboot inspired by something that's been in the news of late. Can you guess which phenomenon we are referring to?
Incels.
It is not. It is about a certain feeling sometimes people get around Valentine's Day. Does anyone know for real what it is?
Yes.
Horny.
Chlamydia.
It is a phenomenon that I have experienced my whole life and have called by different names, but is now called the ick. Oh.
You're correct for the point. A recent NPR headline reads, "Did your date give you the ick? Here's the science behind that feeling." First point, what is the ick?
Okay, I'm actually going to give you a little anecdote. When I was like a teenager, my friend would call me up and I'd be like, "How was the date?" And she would just start to go, "Ew, ew, 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 ew." And then I would join her. We just go, ew, 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 ew. And that is the ick. And also, when I was in university, we called it, my friends and I called it the shimmy shakes. It's this feeling that you can't describe that just makes you want to puke by looking at somebody.
The article describes the ick as a feeling of disgust when someone you're dating does one small thing that you just can't get past.
Ew, 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 ew.
Yes, and apparently there are a lot of them. In that article, they offer certain examples like someone blowing up a balloon.
Fascinating.
Gave someone the ick. Someone laughing too loudly.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
On a date.
I know, I'm definitely not well.
They also said you can often give people the ick by imitating Borat during what activity?
That the activity being every activity.
Jen?
Is it when you're getting married and you go, "My wife!"
Chris?
I once did it at the dentist.
It doesn't work.
It's probably like, you know, during marital intimacy.
When making out, they say, yes.
Oh.
That can give people the ick.
What do people say? It's when a nice.
My wife.
What small but totally valid thing gives you the ick?
One time, and I'm actually being serious, it's how a guy got off an escalator.
Oh.
Yes.
Very good. Very excellent.
What happened? So hard. Did he do a little hop?
Yes.
Oh. Was it a little like...
I was picking him up at the airport and he hopped weird.
That's
that was
so
it. And then I had to
funny.
Spend the weekend with him.
Stranger Things actor Millie Bobby Brown said famously that she gets the ick when she sees a man holding what?
Holding space.
Very good guess. Ashley?
Like holding a knapsack over one shoulder. I know I'm specific.
Yeah. Hey, babe.
I mean, you're not far off.
What about holding in a fart?
She said she gets the ick when she sees a man holding an umbrella.
Because real men get hypothermia.
But why did we become so binary about the rain?
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown said, a man holding an umbrella makes him look pathetic. However, the psychologist suggests she's probably just struggling with her own ideas of masculinity.
Yeah. Excuse me, Gene Kelly in Singing in the Rain, pathetic?
Don't panic. The GQ article says the ick does not necessarily have to be a relationship ender. There is a very easy way to deal with the ick. What does GQ say that you should do?
Just wear a blindfold and plug your ears.
I mean, in a nutshell, yes. They say, get over it.
Yeah.
Everyone gets the ick. It's just a byproduct of sharing your life with someone. Unless, of course, sharing your life with someone is your major ick, then I don't know. Just die alone.
Happy Valentine's.
The Shaw Festival presents Anything Goes, a dazzling production of Cole Porter's timeless musical set on the SS American. Follow the antics of a nightclub singer as she navigates love triangles and hilarious hijinks on the high seas. Anything Goes on this ocean liner. Featuring spectacular tap dancing and hits like You're the Top. Don't miss Anything Goes at the Shaw. For tickets, go to shawfest.com.
Guess who just bundled their home and auto with Desjardins Insurance? Well, look at you, all grown up and saving money. Yes, I am. Mom told you to do it, didn't she? Yes, she did.
Get insurance that's really big on care. Switch and you could save up to 35% on home insurance when you bundle home and auto. Desjardins Insurance, here for your home, auto, life, and business needs. Certain conditions apply.
Panel, it is Super Bowl weekend and the buzz is building. Some people are talking about the game. Some people are talking about the commercials. Some are even expecting a proposal, including people in our audience.
Yeah.
But what Super Bowl staple is really breaking the internet this week?
What the correct kind of derisive term for the Super Bowl is? Is it Super Bowl or Superb Owl? Like, what are the hipsters going to be calling it derisively?
What will the Canadians be calling it?
Yes.
I'll give you a hint. What is breaking the internet? Read the Super Bowl. It is a certain Super Bowl snack.
Wings?
Ooh, nachos.
Pulled pork.
Wings.
Ribs. Ribs.
All good guesses. The answer? Guacamole.
Whoa.
That's right. Guacamole has been all over the news, apparently.
Has that been all over the news?
I've been looking at the news a lot. I haven't seen the guac.
Bury the lead.
You guys got to look at the right newspapers. For instance, the LA Times. Guacamole is all over the news after the LA Times published a controversial recommendation panel. The incendiary article calls for the removal of certain ingredients from the beloved halftime snack. What does the LA Times say we should stop putting in our guac, Ashley?
Well, people always ask me to stop putting my fingers in their guac. I never will.
It adds richness.
The LA Times headline reads, "It's time to drop tomato and onion from your guacamole."
I didn't know that was like a staple of guacamole.
Which?
Tomato and onion.
Sure, a little pico de gallo in there.
Yeah, I never put tomato in guac.
You ever put little diced tomatoes in there?
But I am very Mexican. The article does offer a reason for the removal of tomatoes and onions. Why should you not put tomato and onion in your guac?
Because you want to leave more room for cilantro, baby. Come at me, super tasters.
Anyone else?
I will. It's inauthentic. That's not how they do it in Mexico.
It is, in fact, because tomato and onion are almost all water, about 90% and 95%.
I thought water was good.
The author of the article suggests these ingredients compromise the integrity of the dip.
God forbid the dip shouldn't have integrity.
Exactly. Nothing else does.
I mean, I'm not sure the integrity of guacamole is the biggest integrity compromise to worry about in America right now. But hey, you do you.
That author, it compromises the integrity of that paper, of that publication.
According to the LA Times, in mere minutes, guac with tomatoes and onions becomes what?
It becomes sentient, which is... which is how they got RFK.
Chris?
Play-Doh. It becomes, something to play with.
Ashley?
Just knowing my gut, future toilet time.
I mean, you might get a point for that. Their answer, sad and soggy. If you think the LA Times was the only guac controversy out there, well, think again. This week, the internet was having an aguacalypse over the... over the recommendation of a new guacamole ingredient. The headline from All Recipes reads, "We tried that guacamole that broke the internet and our test kitchen calls it perfection." For the point, what unexpected grocery staple has been added to guacamole to make it perfection?
Well, if it's controversial, it's gotta be pineapple. Which I love, by the way, and I stand behind it. Wait, what does Jan do? Pineapple on pizza?
No.
Okay, no way I hate it.
I mean, pineapple is a great guess. It is incorrect. Have a listen to this annoying TikToker.
Apparently, the secret to the best guacamole is a head of lettuce. Let us dig in, shall we?
Lettuce.
When
iceberg
hear,
lettuce.
When I hear lettuce and guacamole, I hear filler.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
Because you are too cheap. As Jen mentioned, they're very expensive to get more avocados. That is filler-er.
But the whole earlier controversy was that tomatoes and onions were too watery. Lettuce is all water. You don't want to drink a glass of water, like bite into a head of iceberg lettuce. And,
is it the TikToker that did this to us? Was it there? Why did, how?
I don't know, but everyone is swearing by adding iceberg lettuce, shredded iceberg lettuce into your guacamole.
Who's everyone? Show me them.
Thank you.
What do they say is the benefit of the shredded lettuce?
Filler. It's cheaper.
It bulks it up.
Oh, yes.
Bulks it up and makes the guac last longer.
Yeah, because that's what we need these days is to just, like, you know, take away the joy. It's like we have nothing left. Just get a lot of avocados.
Honestly, with the way avocados are probably going to cost in a couple of months, maybe we should be adding the lettuce.
Maybe it'll be just lettuce.
Yeah. Well, lest we forget, this is not the first time guacamole has been enmeshed in scandal. Back in 2014, even former President Obama weighed in on a suggested guac ingredient that caused an outcry after the New York Times posted a recipe calling for the inclusion of what?
2015, the United States, the inclusion, same-sex marriage.
This is outrageous. Not in my guacamole.
You're having the guacamole. You're like, you know, this could use a couple of gays.
Yeah.
That's what I say when I taste any dish.
No one should have an opinion about how you make your guac in your own home.
Stay out of the kitchens of the nation.
Of the nation.
The answer is, the Guardian headline reads, peas out.
No.
Barack Obama joins online outcry against guacamole recipe. The recipe called for the addition of green peas. Also, in a shocking display of unity, Republican Jeb Bush came out against peas and guacamole.
That makes me like them.
Why can't we just stretch across the aisle, everybody?
That's the thing. Honestly, I can't say for sure, but I bet it was only Bernie Sanders who was willing to give peas a chance. I'm Gavin Crawford. This is Because News with Ashley Botting, Chris Sandiford, and Jan Caruana. Panel Toronto is having a moment. The city has outranked Chicago, Amsterdam, even New York City in a new study. For the point, what are we finally beating these cities at?
Oh, pizza? Is it pizza? Can it be pizza?
Can we get pizza? It is not. Ashley.
Pizza.
No. Chris.
You're saying it's not pizza.
It is not pizza.
Okay. Chicago. Is it gun violence?
Ooh, that's a good guess, but no. Ashley.
Good marijuana.
Jen.
Rats.
You are correct for the point. The headline from the Toronto Star, it's not just rats, but rat growth. The headline from the Toronto Star reads, Toronto is finally beating New York at something, rat growth.
Start spreading the news.
That's right.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
That's all we can afford.
I have a question. Does that mean we're getting more rats or bigger rats?
Great question.
Why not both? It's more rats. The study looked at 16 cities and ranked Toronto's rat population growth third, behind only Washington and San Francisco. Why are we pulling so far ahead in the rat race?
Because Doug Ford is actually 10,000 rats in a big coat.
And growing.
News to me, incorrect. Why are we pulling ahead in the rat race, Chris?
I'm throwing all my trash out the window.
That'll do it, Ashley.
Everyone always says Toronto is such a great food city, and that includes the food on the street. So they're
street
well fed.
Those are all good guesses. The correct answer, global warming, climate change.
Yeah.
It is getting warmer, so there are more rats, but there is another factor. Climate change is just one factor. Toronto has another special quality that is helping the rats thrive. What is our other secret ingredient?
Well, the rodents, like anyone else, want free health care. You know.
Our health care is a good guess, no. I'll give you a hint. If you think about the city of Toronto and what is happening here right now.
Is it the subway construction? There's so much construction happening that the rats are congregating in the city.
You are correct for the point. It is construction.
Okay.
Construction makes new underground pathways that become rat cities.
Start spreading.
Okay. Very excited about the rat growth in the booth. According to one of the scientists who wrote the study, quote, there is a rat world beneath our feet. We just don't know it.
Aww.
The scientists who led the study say they want to inspire cities to beef up their rodent reduction strategies. What should Toronto do to improve their rodent reduction strategy?
Tiny condoms.
Look, with all the rat growth, maybe not that small.
She's not wrong.
Boom. What else?
That rocks, by the way. We're going to appoint a rat czar. And let me tell you, we're going to take care of the rats and we're going to send them back to where they came from.
You're correct for the points. Okay. The Toronto Star headline reads, do you have what it takes to be a future Toronto rat czar?
That's right. It says.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Apparently, at the moment, we don't have any sort of rat reduction strategy, and it has been suggested that, like New York, we appoint a rat czar. Does the czar fix everything? I don't know about how the Bolsheviks felt, but I feel like the Russians didn't feel the same.
I feel like they missed a real opportunity here, calling that person the rat czar and not the verminator.
Yeah.
This is why the city needs me.
I mean, there's an opening, Jan.
We had a similar rat problem way back in 1946. At the time, Mayor Leslie Saunders ran a rat eradication week promotion. What did he encourage Torontonians at the time to do?
He encouraged us to race the rats. It was a real rat race, and the ones that lost, they were tossed into the river.
It was a contest. What was his contest?
How many of them can you destroy by stepping on them or poison?
Jen?
Oh, I know this, and I don't want to say it. Didn't you have to send in, like, a rat pelt or, like, a rat tail?
Wow. You're correct. There was a contest to send in as many rat tails as you could, and the person who sent in the most rat tails won a prize.
Oh, my God.
See, I would be a good rat czar, because I knew that.
You're like a Toronto historian.
Meanwhile, over in Scotland, they apparently don't care about the rats, as they were considering getting rid of a different animal altogether. What animal was Scotland considering banning until just this week?
The griffin. It's a scourge, that griffin.
It was nay the griffin. Actually, what were they considering
the
banning?
The wild boar, Gavin.
We're just doing accents.
Very good guess, Jan.
Redheads.
A wild animal.
Gingers.
Gingers.
It was not the gingers. It's not redheads. It was, in fact, cats. The headline from AP News reads, cats won't be banned in Scotland. Okay. The government confirms.
Was it actual cats or the movie?
Actual cats. Why were the cats almost kicked out of Scotland?
Because they wouldn't wear their tiny kilts.
Ashley?
Because they have the devil in them, Gavin.
In a way, yes. They kill too many things. The Scottish Animal Welfare Commission said domestic cats are a serious threat to wildlife populations. Cats do serious damage to populations of birds and animals. Make a wild guess. What is the cat's average body count in the UK each year?
It's my turn. 3 million.
6,000.
1.5 million. Let's just go there.
The correct answer? 700 million.
Little animals?
700 million birds and mice per year.
I was closest without going over. Do I get a car?
No, you get a dead bird.
Well, it sounds like the cats are our natural rat and birds ours.
Yeah, we need some of those Scottish cats over here. Scotland's first minister issued a statement confirming that there will be no cat ban. However, they are going to do something. What are they doing instead?
They're
going to
stand in the middle of town with a laser pointer and just send all the cats.
And hope Trump doesn't visit. They say they will encourage containment measures like keeping domestic cats indoors or on leashes. Because everyone knows the cat loves a leash. And there's one final containment measure that the government is considering, but they don't think they will do because it's too difficult to enforce. What is this unenforceable containment measure?
Grounding the cats.
You're very close. A cat curfew.
Oh! A cat curfew.
Yeah, a purfew. Cat curfew.
You should boo that.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, because everyone knows it's a cat always comes when you call them at 9 p.m. Well, as a cat person, I say I'm very happy about this outcome. Rest easy, Scotland. In the words of William Wallace, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our felines. That's it for another exciting Because News. This week's champion is... It is Ashley Botting. Congratulations, Ashley. You have the honor of reading our credits. I am Gavin Crawford. Remember, the fentanyl czar only covers fentanyl. For other drug complaints, please see the cocaine queen, the minister of meth, or just Dave in apartment B. We'll see you next week. Why?
Because news!
Thank you so much for being here with us tonight, everybody. I'm Gavin Crawford. Give it up for Jen Caruana, Chris Sandiford, and Ashley Botting.
Hey, Canada, this is is Ashley Botting. I'm the winner, can you believe it, of Because News. Congratulations to my runners-up, Jen Caruana and Chris Sandiford. Because News is written and produced by Vanessa Greco, Alex Redekop, Gavin Crawford, Phil Long, and Jess Klimowski. This week they had help from Jana O'Connor, Miguel Rivas, and John Blair. Rounding out this incredible team who I love so much is Aaron Conway, Diana Mark Coolin, Bronwyn Page, Errol Gonsalves, and our recording engineer, the one, the only Mr. Paul Hodge.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.